Well, come that long-expected Jesus. Sounds like we were waiting a long time for him, doesn't it?
Yeah.
And we're waiting for him to come back. So good to see all of you. You know, every few years we have this situation where Christmas comes on Sunday. So we have to get creative. And last night we had our annual Christmas Eve service. The chapel was filled, and there's a great crowd here today. So thank you for being here. And as Pastor Tom said, we appreciate all the guests and family connections and that you would take time out to be here today. So appreciate the musicians that have done an excellent job of putting this together. Give them a hand, will you? It takes a lot of work. Takes a lot of work to what they've put together. You know, the last few weeks we've had a Christmas series going. We talked about Mary and Joseph and we called it Uncomfortable Submission. They submitted to the plan of God, but it completely interrupted their life, didn't it? And what a privilege they had of being the key players in God bringing himself into our world in the person of Jesus, the God-man. But it completely interrupted their life, and they were so submitted to that whole process. I want so much to follow their example and to have the kind of submission that honors God. And then we looked at the Magi, and we called it Unstoppable Searching. They just wouldn't give up, would they? They just looked until they found Jesus. It reminds me that people today, everybody needs Jesus. And anybody who gives any smallest response to looking for the truth and to wanting to know more, God will meet them and he'll bring them to himself. Unstoppable searching, amazing. And then those shepherds, we called it uneducated trust. They were not looked at as important people or educated people. They probably were the last people that the religious leaders would have chosen to have come see the baby Jesus, Messiah born in Bethlehem. But they're the ones that got the message. They're the ones that the angels visited. And they weren't educated people, but they were trusting people. And they said, let's go find out. Let's go see for ourselves. And they had the privilege of being some of the first people, other than Joseph and Mary, that got to see the Christ child there in the manger. What an amazing group of people. And then they went out and told everybody. I can't imagine if it was in the night and there's people everywhere because the city was filled with all these people who had come to register. And you probably were walking over people to get from one place to the next because the hotels were full. And these shepherds are running around just talking about what they had seen and heard. Isn't that a fun mental picture that we have of that? And then Anna and Simeon, I'm calling it unlimited waiting. Come thou long expected Jesus, the one who will change everything. Anna and Simeon, and we just heard that read from Luke chapter 2. You know, waiting, for some of us, that's a major challenge. In fact, of all the challenges in life, for me personally, this is probably one of the toughest ones. I don't like to wait. I may not be totally alone in that, but I think I get the highest grade in that and having the biggest problem with it. And one would think that by the time you get to my place in life, you'd have it mastered, right? Well, I don't. You know, I come to a traffic signal and I have a red light in front of me. I obediently obey it. But my eye is looking up to the right there to see that green light, waiting for it to turn yellow. Now, I don't go charging into the intersection because I know better than that. I would probably get run over a few times. But it somehow makes me feel better to know that the light is about to turn green for me. Really? I mean, come on. And then I get in the Costco line. And I stand back and I watch which line is the shortest and which baskets have the least in them. And I go for that line. And then I'm watching and something's going on up above and they're having some kind of a discussion. And then they send somebody running all the way back to the back of the store to get something that somebody missed. And, you know, I don't want to wait for that. I want to get out of there. I got things to do, right? And then there was yesterday morning. I shared this last night. Christmas Eve, you know, beautiful day. I had no schedule to keep. I wanted to make some visits to some folks that live in foster home care places, and I got to do that later in the day, a beautiful privilege. But I had no tough schedule at all. I had plenty of time, And Carol, bless her heart, had indicated that she was going to make oatmeal. Now, Carol's oatmeal isn't just oatmeal. I mean, she puts blueberries and bananas and walnuts. It's amazing. It's a work of art. And then she puts it on the table, and right by it, she sets that big box of brown sugar. And I get to add what I want. But by the time I get done, I've ruined all the health value of oatmeal. And I was looking forward to that. So I'm kind of waiting, and it isn't happening, and I'm sitting in my chair, and I'm reviewing my notes for this. And I'm thinking about Psalm 27:14, wait for the Lord, be strong and take heart, wait for the Lord. And this whole idea of the importance of waiting, because that's what Anna and Simeon did. But I'm getting a little bit annoyed because the oatmeal isn't coming. And then I realized what was happening. And I actually just chuckled to myself. And I thought the only real value in this thing is that I can tell this story. I mean, really impatient over a bowl of oatmeal when you don't have any place to go in any big hurry and your wife is fixing it? You know, at my age, place in life, I should be beyond this. But maybe just the confessional will help me work at it a little harder. Struggled with it my whole adult life. And, you know, it reminds me that maybe God really kind of enjoys this whole idea of making us wait. Have you thought about that? Do you realize Genesis... Go for it. Genesis 3:15, when God is handing out his curses for Adam and Eve's disobedience, he promised the Savior. You have to look for it, but it's there, that a Redeemer will come. That's in the beginning of the story. In my mind, I would think then God would have said, you know what, Adam, you guys really messed up and this is going to cost you, but, you know, hang in there. Within a few years in your lifetime, I will fulfill this promise of a Redeemer. Wouldn't that make sense to you? That fits my style of waiting. 4,000 years later, Jesus finally came. That's a long time, maybe even a little longer than that. I don't know. It depends on how you add up the numbers. And then I thought about the Israelites, 70 of them, Jacob. They're going to starve to death, but God had sent Joseph ahead down to Egypt to preserve them. Genesis 50, Exodus 1, in between there, over 400 years of waiting before God finally did the next step of his moving Israel towards the promised land. And Daniel and those other prophets and Micah. Micah told us that the Messiah would come to Bethlehem. Micah 5:2. You realize that God let him say that 500, 600, 700 years, somewhere in there, before it ever came to pass. God seems to use waiting to condition us and to develop us and to somehow kind of get us thinking about the fact that with him, his picture of time is different than ours because he's God and he has that eternal perspective. And not only that, Jesus finally came. That's the Christmas story. And then he grew to be a man and had his ministry and went to the cross, took our sin, died in our place, paid the price for it with his own blood, rose again. And he said, I'm leaving and I'll be back. And some people were so into that over these next few years that we're told down in Thessalonica, some of them even went out and sat on the hillside and waited for him because they thought he'd be back any day. Still hasn't come back. 2,000 years. Waiting. But God always fulfills his word and you can count on it. And that makes me think of the waiting time for Simeon and Anna. And that's why I called it unlimited waiting. Have you thought about them? Simeon, elderly man at this point, and we don't know where it was in his life, when it was, that God said to him through the Holy Spirit, you will live to see your Messiah. Don't know exactly when that might have been. But he's an old man, and he knows God will keep his promise. And I can see him going down to the temple every day, thinking that maybe this is the day that God will fulfill that. You know, even if it was a few days or weeks or months or just a few years, when you're waiting for something, time can seem so distant. If you have a loved one in another country and you're told that they're going to come home, but you're not told when, you're thinking it might be any day. And then it goes into weeks, and then it goes into months, and maybe into years. And it seems like forever. But you keep waiting, and you keep hoping, and you keep expecting. And then Mary and Joseph come in with the little baby. And God nudges Simeon to realize this is the one. And he makes those amazing statements of who Jesus is and affirms who he is and reminds Joseph and Mary of a little bit of the future. You know, then there was Anna. What a life of waiting. Young woman, got married, widowed a few years later, and now she's in her 80s. And she comes down to the, she doesn't just come down to the temple, it looks like she just hangs out there. And she's been waiting and waiting. John Erickson Tada writes it this way. Carol's been reading her devotional book and says, Anna leads the way. The Gospel of Luke tells us that Anna was a prophetess and very old, 84 in fact. Not only that, she was a widow, but not just any old widow. Scripture says that Anna never left the temple but worshiped day and night, fasting and praying. Can you identify with her at all? I wonder if people of her day looked askance at her. Perhaps some looked down on her as though she were the temple bag lady. Others surely saw her as a saint of the age. Luke's account tells us how Mary and Joseph brought the baby Jesus into the temple. And it was an exciting day for the little family. But when they entered the temple, they had no idea what was about to happen. The passage that Tom read talks about circumcision and naming Jesus at 8 days. And then it jumps right on to this visit. And I have no reason to argue with Johnny Erickson, Tada, but I think she's put the two events together, but I believe there's a period of time in between because the purification would have come quite a bit later. It's fine with what she wrote, but I need to clarify that for you scholars. And if I'm wrong, you correct me, okay? The Bible says that Anna came right up to them, gave thanks to God, and spoke about the child to everybody who was there. She told everyone, here's the redemption of Jerusalem. I love to picture it. This saintly old woman wrapped her wrinkled old hands around the infant Jesus, coddled him in her arms, and then pronounced a beautiful blessing upon him. Anna had a chance to celebrate the birthday of Jesus the way it ought to be celebrated. Can you imagine what was going on in her heart and mind that day? She waited a long time. This Christmas season, we can learn how to celebrate the season from observing Anna. Let's pattern our celebration and worship after what she did in the temple when she saw Jesus. Christmas is a time for pronouncing blessings and praise upon the Lord. It's time for giving thanks and for speaking about the Christ child to all who will listen. It's time to talk about redemption. Lord, it's just like you to escort a humble, wrinkled old woman to the front of the line to lead us all. Thank you for the story of Anna, her devotion and her willingness to boldly declare your name to all who would listen. And you know, all of this reminds me of the significance of waiting. But when you're waiting on God, you can count on him arriving on his time. You remember back in the first century, apparently some of the believers were, actually the unbelievers were questioning the believers. How can you know that Jesus is coming back? We haven't seen him. Time's going by. Some of them were even getting discouraged, wondering, you know, what happens to believers when they die? And Paul got to explain that. And Peter had the privilege in one of his epistles of saying, wait a minute, guys, this is my paraphrase. Wait a minute, think about this. God does not operate time like you humans do. To Creator God, one day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is like one day. God's perspective, timeless. Our perspective, let's get it going. We're running out of time. So in the words of Peter, the 2,000 years ago that Jesus left and said, I'll be back, and we're anxious for him to come. From God's perspective, that's kind of day before yesterday. No big hurry, is it? But he will come. We'll count on it. Simeon had this special information that God allowed him to know. I don't think God reveals that to a lot of people. I have friends, my own dad, in his later years, he told me, he says, you know, I think I'll probably still be alive when Jesus comes back. I said, you know, Dad, that's a nice thought. Well, my dad's been in heaven for 20 years, almost 21, and Jesus hasn't come back yet. A lot of people have that feeling. I just think Jesus, I've heard this a number of times, I just think Jesus will come back while I'm alive. It's a nice thought, isn't it? It'd be great if he came back right now. But it's not quite time. And I'm glad, because we have another day today to do what Anna did, what Simeon did, to honor Jesus and tell his story. As a follower of Jesus, that's why we're still around. And if you don't know him personally, that's why he hasn't come back yet, because he's waiting for you to accept the gift of faith, to accept Jesus as your Savior, to let the Redeemer be your personal Redeemer. Because when we do what Romans 10 says, believe in our heart and say with our mouth, Jesus is my God, then he declares us his child and secures us into his family forever. Absolute amazing future that's completely worth waiting for. And if we haven't trusted him personally, then our future is to be away from him forever, lost in the darkness of hell. What a horrible thought. The best thing that can happen on Christmas is to know that we know Jesus. And if we don't, to surely know him and trust him. And there's nothing that I'd rather do than to help you have that confidence. Father, I thank you for the unlimited waiting attitude of Simeon and Anna. It must have seemed like a long time for Simeon until he finally saw Jesus. And he said, now I can die because I've seen him. God has kept his word. And for Anna to hang out at the temple and to pray and praise and try to influence people. And then to finally get to hold you in her arms. God in human flesh. And pronounce a blessing. And to tell everybody, this is the promised Savior. I pray today that every one of us in this chapel knows Jesus and can praise him and looks for opportunities to tell people about him, even today as we have our family gatherings. And dear God, if there's somebody in this chapel that's never received the gift of Jesus as Savior, please don't let this day end before they have believed in their heart and said with their mouth, I accept God's gift of faith. Jesus is my Savior. Thank you for helping us to wait for you to fulfill your truth. And thank you for what we have to look forward to, assured by your word that Jesus will be back and we'll be with him forever. I pray in his name. Amen.